If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, the Westport Flea Market, end of the hour answer. Jacksonville's Corey Grant, one of three active players with a 50-yard run on fourth down. He has two of them. One of them came yesterday. I asked for either of the other two.
Albert Wilson and LeSean McCoy,
yep,
I believe.
Albert Wilson did it a year ago at Atlanta. LeSean McCoy, a 50-yard touchdown run against the Giants in 2010.
As we were going to break, the Chiefs announced that they have released Roy Miller, as expected. I'm not sure why they do it just a couple minutes before Andy Reid comes out there. I expect Andy Reid to give some kind of statement to the effect of, we've released him. I'm not going to comment about it. That's Brett Veach's. Oh, so we'll talk to Brett Veach today? No, that won't happen.
Well, sleight of hand they've become pretty good at.
Yeah, it's you know, one of their little tricks. But listen, we knew it was coming. It's happened. And now we move forward. We'll see how the Chiefs handle their defensive line. Alan Bailey leaving the game against the Dallas Cowboys. The defensive line hasn't been very good to begin with, in my opinion, this year. Been a big, big disappointment based upon what you thought you had. 1 year, $8 million deal. Only 1 year, but $8 million for Roy Miller. You expected him to really shore things up in the middle. Chris Jones expected him to really build on what was a great finish to his rookie year. We've seen one big game where he had three sacks. But haven't seen the kind of consistent production out of him that we thought we were going to have. And Alan Bailey's, you know, making a good check as well, and they just have not gotten it done. So
it's been a ripple effect on the defense.
Well, and that's the thing. Right now, if you say, what do the Chiefs need to draft? Well, I think they still could use another wideout, but that's probably fourth on the list, maybe. I think they could use another tight end. That's fifth on the list. Maybe they need a left guard if they're not, they don't seem convinced that Zach Fulton, you know, is good enough to play in that spot, but, you know, I think they need a corner. I think they need a middle linebacker. I think they need a defensive end. I think they need a nose tackle. I think they need an outside linebacker to pressure the quarterback. All of a sudden, this team's got a lot of needs and no first-round draft pick to do it with. So, you know, maybe they can recoup some of those picks by trading Alex Smith after a big season, and maybe they get more than they even gave up for him. I don't know. I kind of think not at his age and contract number. But we'll see. But all of a sudden, they got a lot of needs, and defensive line just got even thinner. It hadn't been a good year to begin with, and it got even thinner with a move that you just simply had to make.
And no young player who you think might step into the breach either. I mean, that's why some of these guys were in that spot in the first place. So, man, suddenly you're left with a lot of holes to fill on one side of the ball and not really a lot of picks to do it. So that's going to be tough to turn around quickly.
Yeah, and I've been moving picks for Cam Irving. And for Reggie Ragland as well, those were later picks, fourth and fifth round. And I'm fine with the moves that they made there, but it gets a little bit harder.
If you don't have fourths and fifths, it's hard to move up and get a third. I mean, it isn't just that pick. It's what you could turn that pick into. And they've not only are they without picks, they're without little bargaining ability to acquire
capital.
Those picks back.
Draft capital.
Yeah, draft capital. They don't really have that.
So, but listen, they are 6-3, and they're getting ready to take on a 1-7. 1-8 Giants team, right? 1-8 now?
1-9.
1-9 Giants team. They haven't had a bye yet.
Let me see. Let's make sure.
That is just not having a good season, but does have a championship quarterback.
They are 1-8. You're right.
1-8. Okay. 1-8 on the season. And they have a schedule that's beneficial. Only one team with a winning record, and that's the Bills at 5-4, who are made to look very ordinary at home against the New Orleans Saints. And that game against the Bills is here at Arrowhead. So if you're a Chiefs fan and you want to dream about 13-3 in the one seed, go for it, man. So I don't want to be all doom and gloom about this team. This is still a good football team, but we know that they've got the same issues on defense that they really had. That's cost them in the postseason each of the last couple of years.
Yeah, they can't haul the defense they've had the last 4 weeks into the postseason and expect to get anywhere, even if they're playing at home. You can't give up 130 yards a game on the ground, and you just can't.
No.
Because you aren't going to be able to score enough points. You're going to be able to get enough turnovers and score enough points to beat a team if they can just run the ball at will.
Well, they got five takeaways against the Broncos to overcome the massive rushing total they gave up in that game. Against the Raiders, they were better against the run, but they gave up 400 through the air. So let's hear Andy Reid. Here he is.
Roy, and we're going to move on from that. I can't really talk about anything from a, just from a legal standpoint, so I'm going to just leave it at that. I understand you might have to ask a question. You're going to get the same answer there. I will address, however, the bye week. It was good to have an opportunity to step back and go back through and look at things offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise. I was able to do that as the head coach and look at all three phases, all of the games. And, you know, there's some things that we're doing well, and there's some things we need to improve on. Again, I'm not going to necessarily detail that for you. That's for us to work on, and obviously not to give out to an opponent or so on. So, but we will definitely attack the issues that need to be attacked, you know, continue to get better at some of the things that, that we've been doing well. And then last, it was good to get some rest for players and coaches to freshen up. You guys have mentioned it, but the schedule for those first nine games were, you know, it was unique. It was fun, interesting, but unique. Now we start on the second half here, and we look forward to that. I think collectively as a team, I had the guys run around just a little bit today just to loosen up. Wasn't anything too formal, but just to get themselves back in the swing of things. And then last, just our thoughts go out to Ned Yost. You know, that I had a chance to reach out to him and talk to him. I'm just glad he's on the mend here. That was quite a deal, and he's lucky for cell phones and modern technology, man, I'll tell you. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Yeah, you got to bring in another lineman now?
Yeah, there's a chance we do that. Brett's dealing with all that, you know.
Without, as this thing stands, do you really have a backup at the nose right now?
Well, we had Nacho that did last year and did it some this year. So we would be okay there. But we probably need to look into that, and I'm sure something would happen here relatively quick.
How's Alan Bailey doing?
He's making progress. Yeah. I don't really have anything to report to you on injuries. There's not, the guys have been getting treatment, doing their things, but I can't tell you yay or nay either way. So, but he is getting better.
Did you feel better? Or did you feel worse after
looking at the numbers? No, we're sitting here 6-3, so we're in good shape. We didn't finish up before the bye very well, so we've all been sitting here, fans included, on a loss for a couple weeks. And but I like this team, and I like their work ethic. I like the way they battled through the first nine games, and but listen, there's room for us as coaches and as players to improve, and that, to me, I get kind of fired up about that. So that's where I'm at. I mean, that's how I feel as I stand before you right now. So.
We often talk about your record in the bye week and everything, but this week is different as far as the time that you get and to look back and to prepare. Does that make this more fun for you, just, you know, what you like about the job?
Well, I love every day of it. So I come to work, I'm fired up to have an opportunity to coach in the National Football League. It's a privilege, and then to work for the Chiefs, I think, is a privilege, so, and an honor. But you can ask me that almost every day, and I'm right hanging with you that I enjoy getting in here. And if it's a loss and you want to get it fixed, and it's a challenge. And if you're winning, it's still a challenge. So, you know, you're still very critical of what you've done as a coach, and try to make yourself better as a team collectively.
You spoke about the schedule you face, the fact you guys are 6-3 right now. Just what do you think about the opportunity in front of you, the position you put yourself in through the final?
Yeah, well, listen, you put yourself in a position where, you know, you're within, what they say, striking range, whatever it is. So, But we have room to improve and get better. And you got to do that day by day is what you have to do. And that's what we're going to focus on. And I talked to the team a little bit about that. Just, you know, let's get right back into the things we know and grind and get better on a day-to-day basis. And let everything take care of itself from there.
Coach Adam Teicher's network, ESPN Radio, said you guys got it sewn up. Oh, the Chiefs got it sewn up, but it's a bad division. How do you keep your players from hearing that, buying into it?
Yeah, well, if you've been in the NFL long enough, nothing's sewn up. I mean, that's just how it works. So, I think we all understand that. And the players know it's man against man, and anything can happen on any given day, Sunday in particular, coming up here. So we get it. And but we got to take care of business come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, you have to do those things in order to play a decent game on game day, which is for us Sunday. So we got a lot of things that we've got to get covered and make sure that we get ourselves better. And right now that's where the focus is to, you know, get ourselves better as a football team.
Coach, I know Brett Veach is a very strong guy, right? But Martellus Bennett was put on waivers and was available. There's a guy out there that you see, you obviously know his game. You've seen him, you've been around him, you've competed against him. Do you pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, let's talk about this, let's take a look at it? Did you pick up the phone? Did you guys have a conversation about finding him off waivers?
We looked at that. Yeah, that was a potential. He's he's a good place. It worked out good for him. So.
There's one of the things that allegedly he said was that anybody claims me but the Patriots, I'm retiring.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I never heard that. So that, I never heard that. Never heard that.
Now that the first half of the season is over, or at least the pre-bye, you guys played this kind of strange schedule, you know, nights and Thursdays and Mondays and everything. Did it have any kind of just impact? Now that you can see it in hindsight, any kind of effect on, you know, fast start, you know, losing 3 out of 4?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, that's why I address that. I think things have been said about it. It was an interesting schedule. I'd never been through one quite like that. But I thought our guys handled it well. You know, for whatever, I thought they came out and they had energy and did the things that they needed to do to prepare themselves to win games. It was unique. But again, that's all history. We're sitting in a good position. We need to get better. We need to get better as coaches and players. That's really the bottom line. And the bye week allowed us to dig in on some things, and we need to attack those things. And anywhere where your mind goes besides that is wrong, and as a player and a coach. So that's really what's real and where we're at.
A couple more guys.
How important is it to, you know, Kareem Hunt had a lot of success in that 5-0 start. How important is it to get him going again, to get your running game going better?
We need to do that. We need to get that better along with some other things. I mean, you know, we're just we got a couple other things that we got to do better too. And it all works as a part of the whole. And we can do a better job there all around.
Have you been disappointed in that? I know you now have a new challenge with Miller being released and how you're going to fill that. But have you been disappointed with what you got out of your defensive line in the first 9 games as you look back? Are they capable of more than what they've done?
There's pluses and minuses and everything. So I would tell you the last game, they held a pretty good running back under 100 yards. So you look at the positive there. Can we do better in areas? Yeah, we can do better in some areas. So it's, it's important that we do that. And I could probably go through and do that for each position as we go. And we've all got a piece of this. And, so that's the way we're going to approach it.
Correct.
Football question. Is it okay? Do you typically expect 4 to typically win against 5, 4 your defensive linemen to consistently win in pass rush against 5 linemen or more?
You do. Again, there's some things that go into that. When you say 4 against 5, there are games that you play. There's all different kinds of – things that can go into that, whether it's a fire zone or, you know, whatever it might be. And so that mixture. But, yeah, if we're calling something for a pass rush, I expect us to be able to win the majority of the time. You're not going to win, obviously, every time. That's not feasible, but you're going to sure try to.
And also about Jay Jessen, like, what do you think, what's the biggest area of growth you've seen in him on offense?
Tell me what. Jay, I love his toughness. So we knew coming out of Michigan that he was an aggressive player where you call a run, he's going to bury himself down in there and go get it. He was a tremendous special teams player. Again, it's learning this system, and he's attacked that, and we've been able to get him in, you know, for a couple snaps this past game, and he did okay. You know, he's making progress. Again, tough position to learn that first year and have a complete handle on, especially when you have some guys that have played a little bit there. So, but he's making progress.
Last one, Matt. Without getting into the specifics of Roy's case and issue and everything, the move that you made today, what message do you feel like that sends as far as this team's tolerance towards allegations of this nature?
Yeah, I have no comment on that. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
That is Chiefs head coach Andy Reid live here at the University of Kansas Health System Training Complex. Soren Petro will join us here in a few moments, just kind of recapping what he talked about. The big story of the day, the release of defensive tackle Roy Miller. Reid said he would not address that situation for legal reasons. Asked if there was a chance he'd go get a defensive lineman. He talked about Hakeem Nunez-Roches kind of stepping up last year when they needed that spot, but that was something he would look at. And as he often does in matters of potential personnel moves, he deferred to Brett Veach, the general manager, and said that would be a Veach decision. He talked about where the team is right now, says it's 6-3, didn't finish up very well, but he likes the team, likes their work ethic, likes the way they battle. Improvement, that they need to improve in some areas and not in others, was a consistent theme throughout the day. So they looked at all three phases of all the games, said there are things they are doing well and things they need to improve on. Says you put yourself in a position where you're within striking range, but they have to get better. Thought the players would not perform under the idea that the division championship or the division race is over. As far as Martellus Bennett, Soren Petro asked that question, said that they did look into possibly picking him off waivers, but didn't say much more beyond that. Talking about defensive line, is it capable of more? He said, of course, that there are pluses and minuses. He mentioned the Dallas game being a plus, holding Ezekiel Elliott to 100 yards. Did not mention the fact they still ran for 130 in that game. Much of it was Dak Prescott, but still, I wouldn't call the Dallas game a plus as far as the rushing defense is concerned. Says, again, there are things they've done well, things they have to do better. When asked if he expects four defensive linemen to beat five offensive linemen consistently, he said, yes, if they're calling something for a pass rush, I expect us to win that a majority of the time. That was about it. We'll take a break here and come back. We are at the University of Kansas Health System Training Complex. Soren Petro will rejoin us. We'll discuss more about what Andy Reid just said on this day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.